KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Diane Keaton has died. The actor had a huge movie career, rising to fame in the 1970s, winning an Oscar for Best Actress in for 1977's Annie Hall, opposite Woody Allen.
You don't want me to live with you.
I don't want you to live with me. Whose idea was it?
She'd go on in movies like First Wives Club, Father of the Bride, and Something's Gotta Give, opposite Jack Nicholson.
I really like you.
I really like you.
Yeah, but I love you like you. I do. I love you.
Dori Rath, a producing friend of Keaton, confirmed the death to CBS News moments ago. Diane Keaton, famed actor, director, and producer, was 79 years old. Egypt is reportedly saying that President Trump and its leader will chair a Gaza peace summit on Monday in Israel.
Thank you, Egypt! Thank you, Trump!
Chants in Tel Aviv's hostage square thanking people like Trump. Hamas is reportedly saying that the remaining 48 Israeli hostages will begin to be released Monday morning. That is in exchange for nearly 2,000 Palestinians who are in Israeli jails.
Steve Witkoff was clearly emotional as more than 100,000 Israelis applauded him and the expected release of the 20 living hostages.
Tonight, we celebrate something extraordinary, a moment that many thought was impossible. Yet here we stand, living proof that when courage meets conviction, miracles can happen.
He also thanked President Trump. The hostages are expected to be freed early Monday, hours before President Trump lands in Israel and addresses the Knesset. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Back here, a powerful explosion that ripped through a military explosives facility in Tennessee yesterday left no survivors. But the number of unaccounted for has gone from 18 to 16. Our Nicole Valdez is on the scene in McEwen.
The Humphrey County Sheriff choked back tears as he made this announcement that he does not believe anyone survived that blast. He says at this point, no survivors have been recovered.
At least six people were shot and killed at two separate shootings in Mississippi. One of the incidents was after a high school football homecoming game. CBS's Jared Ochacher on one of the shootings in the town of Leland.
They found four bodies in the street. Four people were airlifted to local hospitals, and that is included in the 12 injured. They don't have anybody in custody now, and the investigation is ongoing.
Now to baseball. The National League Division Series concludes tonight with a winner-take-all Game 5 to determine which rivals was face the Dodgers in the NL Championship Series. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matin Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Restoration projects in Iron County, Wisconsin have led to a 94% increase in juvenile brook trout and improved overall habitat health. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
As dwindling brook trout populations are a concern across Wisconsin, conservation efforts in Iron County are increasing viable habitats for the native species. Fish population spikes are being observed at Kari Creek and the Tyler Forks River after major culvert replacement and restoration projects. A fisheries biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Zach Lawson, says post-project monitoring shows a 94% increase in juvenile trout at Kari Creek.
We see a more even distribution of different size and age classes throughout the stream along the entire reach of Kari Creek, which is fantastic, just what we want to see.
Lawson says brook trout are important as a good indicator of high-quality water resources. Despite the fluctuating weather conditions of climate change, Iron County is predicted to be one area in Wisconsin where brook trout will still be able to thrive. Lawson says that's why projects like these are so crucial. Kari Creek, which serves as a nursery habitat for brook trout, had been diverted from its natural channel into a roadside ditch, causing erosion and flooding flooding issues. Improving it meant replacing 9 culverts and an 800-foot stream restoration that cost more than $400,000 to complete. Heather Palmquist with the Iron County Land and Water Conservation Department says most of the funds came through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Trout Stamp Fund. She says rural underserved areas like Iron County, with a population of just 6,500, could not undertake these kinds of projects. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. And looking mostly sunny for tomorrow, increasing clouds in the late afternoon, high mid-60s. Showers and storms around tomorrow night, then clearing out as we look into Monday. High again, mid-60s. Right now it's 58.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm back with one of the most reasonable guys in politics, Tom Pulsiewicz. We dig into what the Pope has recently had to say about Donald Trump's anti-immigrant policies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick things off with the Todd Alba Show. Filmmakers Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of Just a Bit Outside join us for their first media appearance promoting their latest film project. The name is No Packers, No Life, which is about a group of diehard Packer fans in Tokyo who made their way to Lambeau.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Wisconsin's, I would say, the Brewers, but you got some nasty Twins fans up there in northwest Wisconsin. You got some salty Cubs fans in southern Wisconsin. But overall, I guess got a few of those horned people over Minnesota. But overall, I mean, what's more of a Wisconsin team than Green Bay Packers? We're going to talk about that next. But let me clearly, for the lawyers on the 12th floor, separate and remind you, completely separate from what we're going to talk about right now, we have the Civic Media Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. You can win $200 cash prize and gold jewelry and 2 club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota and a home game in Green Bay on November 23rd at high noon. Text the word SCORE right now on the Civic Media app, S-C-O-R-E. SCORE is the word to text. You have until 4 o'clock to do it to win cash and gold and be eligible for the grand prize at a football game of a professional team that has their headquarters in Green Bay. It is a multi-state contest. Now, completely separate from that discussion, let's talk about the Packers. Joining us, our old friends via StreamYard from the movie Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. That's a whole nother bottle of Miller High Life. Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of the new film, No Packers, No Life. Guys, how you doing?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really excited to be here.
Well, I happened to see Sean happened to be in town for another project, and he was so kind by threat of verbal NDA, and I'll never speak to you again. He showed me a little clip of the film, and I was instantly in love. And tell us, guys, how did you come to find this film?
Well, yeah, you know, Todd, we had this amazing success last fall with Just a Bit Outside, thanks to you, your listeners, and all the fans around the state of Wisconsin. That film did really, really well in theaters. And so we were doing an encore screening of it in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival this spring. Mm. And lo and behold, I saw in the program a movie called No Packers, No Life. And I was like, well, that sounds about the Japanese Packers fans. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. So I went to see it. And it was a sold-out show there at the Barrymore in Madison, and it was raucous. People loved this movie. So what we did is, you know, I showed it. I got a link to share with our team, including Paul. And we all thought it was such a joyful expression of what it means to be a Green Bay Packers fan that, and, you know, we can get into the story in a minute. But we were like, maybe we can do the same thing with Just a Bit Out, or with No Packers in All Life, that we did with Just a Bit Outside. And fortunately, our good friends at Marcus Theaters agreed. And they are they're opening No Packers No Life, this wonderful, joyful documentary about the Japanese Packers cheering squad, on October 17th statewide, which is amazing.
I can't wait. And Paul, tell us a little bit about the premise of this story, because when I first Packers cheerleaders, I'm like, there's a group of, like, you know, young people in skirts and pom-pons. No. Tell us this, where this came from, Paul.
Absolutely. So Ty Morse, who is a businessman over there in Wisconsin, he does a lot of business in East Asia. And he was walking through Shibuya, which is the big intersection in Tokyo, and happened to see a Japanese person walk by wearing a Packers jersey and was like, what's going on here? So he very quietly said, "Go Pack, go." And the guy turned around and said, "Go Pack, go!" And then he said, "Go Pack, go!" And then he said, "Go Pack, go!" So then this guy said, "Hey, come here, I want to show you something." Takes him up through these alleys and into a karaoke bar upstairs, the middle of this huge building. And there is the Japanese Packers cheering squad. So it's four dozen Japanese people who, for various reasons, have become super fans of the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And they show up at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning, because of the time difference, and watch games and cheer on their favorite team. And so Ty said, "You know, this is so incredible. I have to bring them to Green Bay to watch a game." So this film follows that entire story. And it's really, you know, Sean put it best. It's joyful, and it is such a celebration of how the things we love, in this case, you know, the team that we love, the Green Bay Packers, brings people together from across the world. So it's just, it is laughs and smiles from beginning to end. And we could not be more excited to be sharing this with the statewide in Wisconsin, you know, thanks to our friends at Marcus Theaters. So we're just thrilled.
And you nailed it, I think, Paul. I know Sean, you and I talked about this. It's a crazy world out there right now. And there's so much divisiveness out there. And boy, anything that can bring us together as Wisconsinites, as Americans, I'm all for. And by the way, Zomers, keep me honest. I talked to you after I talked to Sean. Did I say anything about our conversation that would give anything away?
You said the Wisconsin sports film. Sorry, I can't say more yet. You know, no,
so I kept my word. So now
that's impressive, Todd. Thank you.
Because I was excited, as Sean knows. But now it's okay. We can show the trailer, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Please do.
So here from Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry is a trailer for No Packers, No Life.
We're wandering Tokyo and I see a guy with a Packers jersey on. And I'm like, no way. I just quietly say, "Go back, go." And he shouts back, "Go back, go!" The Japanese Packer cheering team.
Packers number one.
All the Packers, no right.
Insanely passionate, to a degree which probably most people from Wisconsin aren't.
Wisconsin!
I said, "You guys are welcome to come to a Packer game anytime."
I couldn't believe that.
Why? And who are you?
The Green Bay way is to host, and we say, "Okay, come with us. We'll show you a good time."
We want them to experience the Green Bay way.
This is Green Bay!
Wisconsin is human. It's the one team in the NFL that's owned by the people.
It gives people a connection that no other team offers.
No Packers, no life.
No Packers, no life. Only at Marcus Theaters on October 17th. We have the filmmakers joining us live via StreamYard. The great Sean Hannish and the great Paul Jaconi Berry. Guys, just like with A Bit Outside, when Sean showed it to me on Friday, and now I'm seeing it just does something to you as a Wisconsinite, Sean.
Well, I think it does, because, you know, as Wisconsinites, we kind of, you know, on our sleeve is our heart is on our sleeve. And we say, please come visit us. We're a lot of fun. And so, you know, I love what they say, and it's in the trailer there. All of Ty and his friends, Jada Merritt and Brandon, were like, we want to show them the Green Bay way, which is essentially the Wisconsin hospitality. And I mean, a lot of these people who are born and raised in Tokyo had never been to the States before. Mm-hmm. And imagine their first stop is Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right. And they get immersed in this community with these wonderful people, both wonderful visitors and wonderful hosts, and that they shared a lot more in common than you would imagine. I mean, they compared Green Bay to one of the tourist kind of like vacation destinations outside of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So there was a real around being a fan of the Green Bay Packers. True lifelong friendships developed. And I think you find that whenever you go anywhere outside of Wisconsin, certainly here in Los Angeles, or when I've been in France and Paris, I've been to Woe's Bar. Every city around the world seems to have a Packer bar and have a Packer following. So this is kind of like just taking, like dipping our toe into what it's like in Tokyo for these folks. And really what they, in a way, it holds a mirror up to us as Wisconsinites and as Packer fans. And kind of shows us, you know, what we have is really special with the Packers, and people around the world appreciate it.
And time now for my obligatory plug for the great underground sports pub in Hermosa Beach, owned by our friend Kelly Call. When you're in the greater Los Angeles area and you want to take in a Packer game, make sure you go to the underground pub in Hermosa Beach. I've been there. The steak sandwich is fantastic.
You're right. It's the best Packer bar in Los Angeles.
It is. It really is. Paul, talk to me. You guys probably know me. Packers had a rough game. It's been a rough day for Packer fans in Wisconsin today. Just a weird game, losing 13-10 yesterday to the Browns. But Zomer and I were talking before the show, and Paul, talk a little bit about this. I think, and I've always seen the trailer, but to me, anytime that we can see something that we might take for granted through the lens of someone else, it makes you appreciate what this team means to the state.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there for me. You know, before we made Just a Bit Outside, I had never set foot in Wisconsin. And the welcome that I received over the course of making that film, I mean, subsequently, I've been to Wisconsin more than anywhere else in the country. And the welcome and the hospitality and just the joy and heart of the people of Wisconsin has stuck with me, right? And so when we saw this film, that is really about that. I feel like an adoptive son of Wisconsin. Like I'm going to put that on my driver's license, adopted by Wisconsin.
Of course.
Because it is just such a welcoming, warm place filled with joy. And you have so many great things there. And people don't necessarily recognize it until they really come and see what the state has to offer. I mean, yes, Green Bay Packers. Everyone knows the Green Bay Packers. But not until you actually go to Lambeau. Not until you actually experience it in person, as I did just earlier this year for the first time, mm-hmm. did it click for me. And it really is, this movie is such a love letter to the Wisconsin way. It is such a love letter to the people of Wisconsin. And I am beyond delighted to be able to share this with the people of Wisconsin. So they can, you know, as Sean said, a mirror reflected back to them. They can see just how important and how special of a place they live in. So.
Sean, about a minute and a half before the first break here, but talk to us in the minute and a half here up to that a little bit about how, again, you guys kind of took your experience from Just a Bit Outside, and is it fair to say maybe cleaned up and sweetened some of the visuals and some of the sound to kind of get it ready for greater distribution for the original? Is that fair to say or not?
Oh, I think it's fair to say we took what we learned, yes, from Just a Bit Outside, both the marketing and distribution, but also in, you know, just the storytelling arena of like, what do people expect when they go to the theater? And, you know, we shared that with the filmmakers, Craig Benzine, the director, and Ty Morris, the producer, and they were incredibly amenable. In fact, they had been watching Just a Bit Outside and had seen the film and were like, we kind of want to do what those guys did. And, you know, through an incredible stroke of luck, we met them back there at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And that's the path they're following. I mean, the film is, it's 90 minutes of pure joy. And it's worth, just like Just a Bit Outside was worth wearing your jersey to, wear your Packer jersey, come early, have a couple of beers, you know, tailgate and get ready for an incredible joyride.
It is in Marcus Theaters starting on October 17th. We'll come back and talk more about this great film, No Packers, No Life, with Sean Hannish and Paul Ciccone Berry after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field where it belongs.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
This October, art comes to life at the Healing Minds Art Show 2025, presented by NAMI Northwoods. From 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. October 9th through 11th at Art on Grand in Wausau, experience powerful works from local artists, musicians, and writers, each piece a tribute to healing and hope. On Saturday, meet mental health advocate Cody Green at a special book signing and catch a live performance by townsfolk, all while enjoying food trucks all 3 days of the show. Learn more at naminorthwoods.org.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have WXCO Morning Report. Chet Holmes sits down with Quinn Suhan of Marathon County Literacy Council about what services they provide and about an upcoming adult spelling bee they are hosting.
One time I lost a spelling bee because the word I had to spell was a finance and I messed up.
Oh, jeez.
And my dad still holds that over me.
Well, Ian, you have a chance to get redemption now because as adults, we have a chance to be part of a spelling bee, an adult spelling bee with the Marathon County Literacy Council coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th. And to learn more about it, we're very happy to welcome Quinn Suhan. She's the business manager for the Marathon County Literacy Council. And this is really exciting stuff. But good morning. Glad you could come on by.
Absolutely. Good morning. And I'm very happy to have this opportunity.
First of all, before we even talk about the spelling bee itself, the Marathon County Literacy Council, for folks who may not be familiar, could you give us a little information on that?
Absolutely. We are what I consider Marathon County's best kept secret. I've only been with them for about a week now, but I am loving
a week,
and I'm loving every second of it. I actually messaged my boyfriend one day and was like, I really love my new job.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's so great to love what you do. I do have some history, some background in teaching myself, so a part of this is coming home. At the Literacy Council, we really put an emphasis on that adult learning. You know, 1 out of 7 adults in Marathon County struggle with literacy. As a teacher, as someone who grew up with. My mom was actually one of the reporters for the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. So every single one of my papers was gone over with the utmost scrutiny to make sure that the spelling, grammar, punctuation, everything was on point.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Just having that background, again, it just really feels like I'm coming home in some kind of aspect there. But at the Literacy Council, we do help with that tutoring. If you need help with reading, writing, studying for your driver's license test, if you need help with building a resume, getting those job skills, that's what we're here to help with. Mm. You know, we do recognize that there is a niche for this, that there is a need for it. Mm-hmm. And we really just want to get our name out there more, really let people know that A, we provide this service, and B, it's all for free. Mm. Every single one of our services we provide to anybody in the community for free. You can call us and make an appointment. You can just walk in off the street. We're open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. And
again, where are you located, by the way?
We are located right downtown next to Yankee Bookstore.
Oh, just down the road here.
Just down the road. Yep. We're kind of, I think a lot of people think we're part of Yankee just because, of course, we have the McLit sign out there. Sure. And it does have a picture of a book. And I think a lot of people just kind of assume we're an additional entity to Yankee, but we are completely separate, and we are here to help you and anybody.
What kind of programs are, maybe some examples of programs that you do offer for folks here in Central Wisconsin?
Again, we don't really have like a specific, like you come in and we're going to help with ABC only.
Oh, okay.
If you want to come in and study for any kind of exam that you have coming up, if you wanted to go back to school and be a lawyer, a doctor, a whatever, and you're struggling with something, come on in and we can help you
so
with whatever it is.
Basically, yeah, if you have any idea that maybe this is some area I want to get stronger in.
Yes.
You're willing to work with them.
Especially when it comes to language. We do have a big emphasis on ESL, so English as a second language. But on the flip side of that, most people don't even realize that we'll help you with your Spanish as well. So we will flip that. Come on in and you can get some lessons.
Fantastic. Really interesting stuff. And I have to admit, even just down the street here, I really did not know that. In your first week, and you've been you popped by last week to say hello and to provide the information about the adult spelling bees. Very, very cool indeed. We're talking to Quinn Suhan from the Marathon County Literacy Council. And coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th, let's get into this event because it sounds like it could be a lot of fun, a lot of coolness to it. It's an adult spelling bee.
Yes.
And it's raising money to be a hive builder for literacy and BEE. That's very, very cool indeed.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what this event's all about and maybe what people need to know.
The McLee Bee Benefit, that's definitely a mouthful, is an evening of unforgettable fun that's really just going to heighten the community awareness and share our impact and help increase the understanding of the vital role that adult education really can play and literacy can play in our community. We truly believe that the learning process never stops, and adult spelling bee is really going to help demonstrate that beautifully. Again, like you mentioned, it really is a great way to help raise money and promote that literacy, bringing together a diverse audience. It is going to be on Tuesday, October 7th at the Labor Temple from 6 to 8 p.m. It is advertised as an adult spelling bee, but it is a family-friendly event. So
the kids want to be involved, they can do it as well?
Absolutely. And that's kind of what we want to promote as well. Sure. Show the kids that the adults are still learning, still working towards making themselves better as well. I think a lot of kids get the impression that the learning stops when you become an adult, and I'm sure you can agree that is the exact opposite. We are always continuing to learn and improve ourselves, and this is a great way to show that too.
I think, Ian, maybe you and I may have to pop on over there and do a head-to-head here so you can go deeper into this thing.
I think so as well. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, boys, you guys can help come and contribute to the event. We have a silent auction. So if anybody out there, the public or businesses, really want to contribute, you can contribute to our silent auction. You can sponsor a team for $100. Oh, so wow. If you two wanted to be a team, you can totally join. You can volunteer to help at the event on the 7th, or you can just buy a ticket to the Bee, come out and enjoy a night of spelling, pizza, non-alcoholic beverage, and of course, a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And to get more information, maybe, because I mean we've gone through a lot of things here this morning, you can get information on your website, I imagine, correct?
Yes.
What is the website?
McLitOfWausau.org. Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook under the same handle.
Fantastic. So McLitOfWausau.org, and then get more on this event and other events / events as well. And also, I imagine, just stop on by here downtown.
Absolutely. Like I said, we are open 9 to 4. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Fantastic. Should be a lot of fun Tuesday. Thursday, October the 7th, really for a great cause, but a lot of fun as well. The Marathon County Literacy Council Adult Spelling Bee. Yeah, well, and it'll be held at the Labor Temple in Wausau, correct?
Yes.
So at the Labor Temple, just again, here in Wausau, 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, October 7th. So again, get more information, MC Mick Litt of Wausau, MCLIT of Wausau.org for the Marathon County Literacy Council. Quinn Suhan, great to have you on board and great for your new job. And again, as you continue, I'd love to have you back and talk about other events.
Oh, absolutely. I got plenty of ideas and plenty in store. So I would love to revisit and get people more involved.
Top of the hour news update is coming up. We'll be back with another WXCO morning report at 8:22 included will be our number for the day quiz with Ian. But up next, it's a top of the hour news update, news, weather, and sports, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News special report, Oscar-winning actor Diane Keaton has died. It seems she was able to tackle any role, from romantic comedies opposite the likes of Jack Nicholson to 1987's Baby Boom, where she tried to play down her child during a job interview.
Your baby just barfed all over my boss.
This is not my baby. I went to Yale and Harvard. I don't have children.
Keaton stepped into Hollywood as Al Pacino's girlfriend in The Godfather in 1972.
Michael, you say you love me, and then you talk about allowing me to leave.
There are things that have been going on for years between men and women that will not change.
You've become blind, Michael.
Blind to what?
Look what's happened to us, Mike. My God, look what's happened to our son, Michael.
Film critic Leonard Maltin.
She seemed real. She didn't seem like a star who was pasted together by a movie company. She was organically likable and funny.
Diane Keaton was 79. CBS News special report, I'm Matt Piper.
A showdown in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Cubs square off for Game 5 tonight. The winner will advance to the National League Pennant Series against the Dodgers next week. Last night, Pat Murphy telling reporters he'll likely go with a variety of pitchers from the Brewers' bullpen, including Jacob Mizorowski, Aaron Ashby, and Quinn Priester. College football, homecoming today in Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Iowa Hawkeyes, and tomorrow in Green Bay, it's the Packers against the Bengals and newly acquired quarterback Joe Flacco, Xavier McKinney, on facing Flacco a second time this season when he was with the Browns.
I was actually thinking about kind of the other way around of kind of what he saw from us the very first, when he was with the Browns, what he's already kind of seen us do. So I was thinking about just kind of ways that he might try to come into this game having different players and a different scheme.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. And looking mostly sunny for tomorrow, increasing clouds in the late afternoon, high mid-60s. Showers and storms around tomorrow night, then clearing out as we look into Monday. High again, mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bob.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up, we have the Matt Nair on Air show. Jane and Greg talk with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins the show to talk about all the recent press conference from President Trump regarding Tylenol and the unsubstantiated claim of its link to autism taken by pregnant folks.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guest, our friend and colleague, and host of our own show on weekends.
So fun.
We want to remind you that our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway right now. So grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. That is the only way to enter.
Yes.
You have to have the Civic Media app. Not going to cost you any money.
No.
It's completely free.
Correct.
So open up your Civic Media app, text in the word YARD, Y-A-R-D. Text in the word YARD. You're in the running for the daily prize, which is $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay take on Minnesota November 23rd at noon. We have a gas card to get you there and back. It's worth $1,550.
It's amazing.
It's a pretty nice package.
I think I'm more like, Packer tickets are great. Don't get me wrong. But I will say this. I love the gift card option.
The gas card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nice. So text in the word.
Such a nerd.
For so many reasons.
I love a value.
YARD is the word. Y-A-R-D. And by the way, I wanted to say good morning to Brian from Mozamy, who just texted in morning.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Brian. And that's not the word, by the way. The word is YARD.
YARD.
Y-A-R-D. Good luck. You have until 10 o'clock, and then your next word coming your way at 11. She is our guest, Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on weekends. Good morning, my friend. Your phone must have been blowing up yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, the day before. We were already talking about using Tylenol in pregnancy and whether it was a link to autism, which there is not. Tylenol
right.
in pregnancy does not cause autism. So, I mean, that's been kind of brewing, but to hear that big declaration, to hear Trump stumble through the word acetaminophen, to see the reaction, and then to get all these texts from so many friends who are either pregnant or are living with autism in their family. This has stirred up so much emotion and so many questions and so much conversation. I think people are really starting to see it.
I took that clip that you put out on social media explaining directly about the zero findings of a link between Tylenol and autism. And I put that on a friend's social media post because he was posting about it, of course, agreeing with what you're talking about. And then someone, because there's always someone, comes in going, well, why can't we just allow doctors to blah, blah, blah. And it became into a whole thing. And I just finally said, here is my friend. She is very smart. This is what she's saying, corroborating another doctor's comment, by the way. And I said specifically, this topic is not worth her time. She's got other things to be doing, but now she has to talk about it and talk about something very simple because the president of the United States, not just a dude, got up on the most microphoned podium in the country, maybe the world, and said these words. And the thing that really rocked me on in the whole clip, Dr. Lyle, is the fact that you have to say now to people, it's not your fault.
I know. That is the worst part, because people who have family members who are taking care of friends with autism, they're suffering. They want an answer. And to give them this false hope and to somehow make it seem like it is their fault that they ended up in this situation is just so beyond shameful. And for the president of the United States to say it in the way that he said it, and then to go on and say that pregnant women should just suffer with their pain. I mean, you don't want them to have birth control. You don't want them to have abortions. You want them to get pregnant, but you don't want them to have the things that they need to be able to navigate their pregnancies safely, including hospitals in rural areas where they can deliver their babies. I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
That really jumped out at me too, Dr. Lyerly, when he said, if you can't tough it out, essentially, if you're not tough enough to deal with your discomfort, then okay, I guess you can take it. Kind of indicting pregnant women for not being tough enough. We're not being tough enough. Even though other Republicans have said it requires no special gifts to give birth.
Right. Or they think as soon as the baby comes out, like the pregnancy is over.
Everything's not back to normal.
No, it takes a year to recover. It's just, it's shameful. Yeah. You know, it's... There just aren't that many things that people can use in pregnancy to manage pain. And this is something that we've used forever. And most people use it at some point in their pregnancy. So for him to do this and to put pregnant women in a situation where they're always thinking about, should I put this in my body? Should I eat this? Should I take this medicine? Should I treat this condition? And they often don't want to even treat things like blood pressure problems because they're worried that the medicine that they take is going to cause problems for their baby. When in reality, high blood pressure causes many more problems.
Yep.
Yes. So women have to have the information that they need, and they need to be encouraged to take the right medications that they need to treat their conditions. And that is exactly the opposite of what Donald Trump and RFK were saying.
Well, and again, neither of them are doctors. They're not even medical researchers. They're two dudes.
Yeah. With a political agenda. With an agenda. Yes. And the comments that people have made on that post, which has gotten like 115,000 views. I mean, it was really popular. Some of the comments where people were questioning the data, or they would say, well, did you see the Harvard study? Well, did you see all the studies? You can't just cherry pick one thing or another. One study does not make a medical movement.
Right. If they can get the name of one study or name a college or a university or something, when they say check theirs, it's like, do you know what you're really talking about right now? Do you understand what you're doing? Because you are trying to now, because someone else will hear these words and they won't research it. They'll just say, well, I know Harvard's a smart place and they said study. So I'll just say Harvard study and they'll know what I'm talking about.
If you're just joining us, by the way, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. She's the host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show in Green Bay on weekends. And we're talking about Donald Trump and Bob Jr.'s announcements yesterday. Don't take Tylenol. We have a compilation.
Yeah. Courtesy of Jimmy Kimmel, actually.
Compilation courtesy of the Kimmel Show.
If you want to, here's a basic summation of the entire speech they gave earlier this week from the White House regarding this topic. Calvin, will you play that, please?
Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. With Tylenol, don't take it. Don't take it. Don't use Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Fight like hell not to take it.
There it is.
I think you shouldn't take it. Don't take Tylenol. The baby goes, gets a shot. They say, here, take a drop of Tylenol. I've heard that for years. Take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't have your baby take Tylenol. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give your baby Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. Don't take it. So that's it. There's nothing much to say. Don't take Tylenol. Just don't take it. And I just say it again. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it.
That sums it up, what he just said there. Either. There's nothing left to say. Yeah, there was nothing to say to begin with.
Yeah, that's it.
Grandpa, it's time for bed.
Yeah, exactly. And the other important piece of this that I think is getting skipped over. So the alternative now that they're suggesting, this Luvarkin?
Lucavorin.
Lucavorin contains a folic acid, from what I understand. This is being sold by a company that Dr. Oz has stake in.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that the data is not there for leucovorin. So this is another whole entire problem. The data is not there. We are years away from being able to recommend leucovorin. And the data at this point only supports that it treats a particular symptom in a certain subset of people with autism. But they're selling it like if you have autism, they're almost selling it like a cure, like a snake oil. But it's not there, guys. And the fact that they're making it available to people who have Medicaid and it's going to be something that you can get your hands on, it's not there. This is false hope and it's not fair.
And isn't it? It's like supplements. It's a St. John's wort. It's the same thing as those kinds of things. Is that correct?
It's not. It is a B vitamin, so it sounds like it's a supplement, but it's actually something that we use in chemotherapy to treat methotrexate overdoses. I've never used it in my practice because it is there's some very particular uses, but it's not like a multivitamin that you can just buy over the counter. You do need a prescription for it.
But again, I think it's important to note, at least from what I was finding yesterday, Dr. Oz, who is now part of our health system, is part of a group that owns this drug.
Well, and also speaking of Dr. Oz, 24 hours ago, and this was reported in, I'm looking at YouTube, Yahoo News. He walked the statement from President Trump back.
Oh, he did.
And he said, quote, "We know that people who take Tylenol for prolonged periods of time during pregnancy seem to have a higher incidence of autism in aggregate." I don't know what that means. What? Show me the study on that one, Doc. So the message is not, never take Tylenol. It's take Tylenol judiciously. Take it by talking with your doctor. Make sure that you have an important reason to take. Important reason is pain. Because of pain, don't take it. Hey, this is the words of a doctor. Don't take it willy-nilly because you think it's so safe. It couldn't possibly cause a problem because those assumptions appear to be erroneous. That statement just wrapped in tons of research and data, doctor. I don't even know why we're talking about this. He's right. We're wrong. Let's take some supplements.
But isn't that the advice that you would give any patient, Dr. Lyerly, is take it sparingly, right? Nobody's like, yes, take as many drugs as you can ingest. No doctor is telling you that, or are they?
And talk to your doctor about it so that you can personalize your care. But you know what you said, Greg, I think is really important because this is what they did with leucovorin. This is what they're doing with these Tylenol studies. They find something that has a grain of truth to it. And you know, when you look at all the Tylenol studies out there, there are some studies that show that there is an association between taking Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. And that is true. And there are other studies that show that there is not an association, including a recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that was huge. So the association is a maybe, but association does not mean causation.
Right.
It does not mean that Tylenol in pregnancy causes autism. It's like saying eating ice cream is associated with drowning. Eating ice cream doesn't make you drown. You just eat ice cream when it's warmer out and you also go swimming more often. So they take that confusing piece of information that a lot of people who aren't in the science world and can't parse out the studies because they don't have the background, and they use it to politicize it and benefit from it. And it's wrong.
I also think it's important. VAERS keeps coming up. It's V-A-E-R-S, VAERS. Ron Johnson cited it yesterday because now he's still pushing the horse medication and talking about all the reports on VAERS. I could go to the VAERS website and report that I drank orange juice and I grew a unicorn horn. I could. And
yes.
Because there is no checkup on those reports to VAERS, correct?
And there shouldn't be. And there shouldn't be because it is meant to be an open database where people can report whatever their adverse effects are. And then they take that information and look into it.
I'm going to do that right after the show. It's getting in the way of my headphones, this unicorn horn. It's just not very useful. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the other side. If you have questions, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national data banks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And last but not least on the Civic Media Spotlight, we move to Valley Focus with Lisa Hale. Ava Engel, the executive director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, joins Lisa to discuss the success of the Walk for the Animals fundraising event and the gray muzzle grant the shelter has received for medical care for senior animals. Tune in.
For WISS, I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I'm joined by Yava Engel, who is the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. Hi, Yava.
Hello.
We have got to talk about the Walk for the Animals. You guys had a very successful fundraising event this month in September. So tell me a little bit of how that went.
Oh, Lisa, it went really, really well. We had, this whole campaign around our Walk for the Animals is something that we start planning on early on in the summer. And we're raising funds for our medical care because every animal that comes into the shelter gets medical care. So it's not just the ones that are sick. Every single one gets microchipped, vaccinated. And of course, those that need medical care, additional medical care, receive that as well. So we fundraise every year. And this year we had a goal set that was a record high goal of $65,000. And I'm super thrilled to tell you that we exceeded our goal. Our preliminary final fundraising total is $68,400.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. So you met your goal and exceeded it by over $3,000. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I know there were a lot of people that helped you put this together and came together to work for the animals. Can you tell a little bit about the volunteers and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And it's our staff are really focused on this event as well and planning it out. And then we always need volunteers to, well, first off, to distribute the signs, put up signs so people know that we're doing the walk for the animals. Our volunteers help us fundraise through pledges from their friends and family. And then, of course, at the event itself, we have so many different booths and activities for kids, and we always need volunteers to help with that.
So this is something that if you didn't get to help out this year, because it's past this year and mm-hmm. you've done such a good job, maybe next year, if somebody really wants to get involved and help, they could.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I would just urge them to sign up pretty early if they are not a current volunteer, because we send out to current volunteers our asks to see who is interested in helping. But if they are not a volunteer yet, they can apply. I would probably urge doing that in the spring and just upfront identify that you'd be very interested in helping with the walk. It's a lot of fun. So definitely we are super excited to welcome anyone.
Absolutely. So that event, fantastic event. Mm-hmm. You've raised a lot of money. And I do want to go back and mention that this is all, as you said, for medical care for the mm-hmm. pets. And I think maybe people don't think about that each animal that comes through, you don't know their vaccination history. So they all have to be vaccinated.
Absolutely.
You mm-hmm. don't know their medical history. So they have to be looked over. They have to be mm-hmm. assessed. Mm-hmm. Some of them need dental work.
Absolutely.
Badly.
Yes.
Some have injuries. Some mm-hmm. have upper respiratory infections, mm-hmm. kennel cough, all sorts of different
chronic
things.
Conditions as yeah. well, diabetes, kidney issue. Yes, various chronic conditions too. Mm-hmm.
And this money all goes to help pay for those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Medical care is expensive. Medical and surgical supplies have become much more expensive. So of course that cost increases year over year.
Pets get older.
They do.
And mm-hmm. as they get older, they sometimes run into different problems. The older the animal, the more likely they are to have dental
problems. Just like human beings, yes.
Exactly. Really. You know, I have a very old Chihuahua. He's about, we figure, 14, 15 years old. And I can see on some mornings that he's just slow mm-hmm. and doesn't feel good. And I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, right, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So these older pups and these older cats and older even bunnies and whatnot mm-hmm, that you guys mm-hmm. get, the Oshkosh Area Humane Society recently got a grant.
Yes, we did. Specifically for medical care for senior animals.
And it was the gray muzzle grant,
I think is what it was called. And we do special blood work for our seniors. And so, especially for dogs, if we're looking at what is a senior, so it's really 7 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there are so many animals that come in at that age that either come in as strays, where we can as best guesstimate how old the animal is. But we also get a lot of surrenders due to the hardships right now, financial hardships out there. So for those animals that we know are elderly and they have a birthday, so to speak, all of those get the senior care as well. Mm-hmm.
And this gray muzzle grant, how much of a grant did you guys get? Do you know?
We get $11,000.
Well, that's mm-hmm. still, that mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And many of these seniors also need dental care. And as you know, dental care, those are long procedures. So it takes our veterinarian quite some time to go through those and it pays for that. So we're extremely grateful. They are wonderful, wonderful partners for us.
Do you guys do anything special to adopt out the elderly animals that you might have at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society?
We do. We try to focus a lot of our marketing and kind of social media exposure on these seniors, because seniors really make wonderful, wonderful pets. They really do. And so it's promoting them in social media. We also, a lot of times, we have very low to no adoption costs on these senior animals. We also have a lot of times folks who sponsor adoption fees for dogs specifically. Our cats don't have adoption fees at all. Regardless of age, all we ask for is that the adopter pay for microchip and for the vaccine. But other than that, we really, we do not have adoption costs for cats. But for dogs, we do. And the senior dogs, a lot of the time we have the fees sponsored by somebody, a donor or an organization. And I want to give specifically a shout out to Pete's Garage Bar, who now are sponsoring adoption fees and food and toys for many of our long-termers. So they are wonderful to work with.
And they absolutely, you got to give Pete's Garage props for anything.
Yes,
I just absolutely love them. They're so irreverent and just so much fun in the community, but they really care about the community.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We're so grateful. Like, I couldn't tell you enough.
So if somebody is interested in adopting a senior mm-hmm. pet or helping out at the shelter, where do they go? What can they do?
They can go to our website, oahs.org. And they can see the volunteer opportunities and the available animals. And we always list the age of the animal as well. Or if they have very specific questions, they can always email to info@oahs.org. And then I'm typically the one who is addressing all those emails, and I can direct them to the right person.
Absolutely. Yava Engel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Love coming here.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Diane Keaton, the quirky actor known for her roles in Annie Hall, The Godfather, and the First Wives Club movies, has died.
I am very sorry I ever met you, and I am sorry that I allowed myself to love you for all those years. I'm sorry I did nothing but be there for you every minute of every day and support you in your every move!
That from First Wives Club, to which her co-star Bette Midler writes on social media, "I cannot tell you how unbearably sad this makes me." Film critic Leonard Maltin.
She was one of a kind. There's no one quite like her. She defined herself as a contemporary woman who wasn't afraid to look silly.
Keaton won an Oscar for Annie Hall at the 50th Annual Academy Awards and would go on to be nominated three more times. Diane Keaton was 79. In Tennessee, the Humphreys County Sheriff says that